hours of the night, early morning. You can do that now too. With a lot less side effects and a lot less trouble. I want to share the words of a song with you. And I want you to think about who you are, who you could have been. The writer said, when I think about all my faults and my failures, when I consider all of the times that I let God down, I am humbled by the grace he has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn his love on my own. Oh, but every time I come before his throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am so unworthy. I have nothing precious that I could give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a precious gift to him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before him unashamed, because I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not by my own merit, not by who I'm related to. I come and stand by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. And I stand redeemed before the great I Am. I don't stand before you. You can't do much for me. You can't take me to heaven. You cannot send me to hell. I stand before the great I Am. And when he looks at me, sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I've heard some say, well, I'm free. And when I've looked at it, I considered all that they did, looking at it in the context that they said, they just traded one set of bondage, as they called it, for another set. But he bought my liberty. And I am free. I'm not bound down. I'm not jammed up. I'm not squirming, trying to chafe in the saddle and wishing I could do this, that, and the other, but I can't because I want to be saved. And they said I can't do it. I'm not under all of that. I stand redeemed. In spite of my past, I stand redeemed. In spite of who I was, I still stand redeemed. I've been called a lot of things. I've been talked about. I've been stabbed in the back. I've had things that hurt, and I've been bruised and ran over. But when it's all said and done, I still stand redeemed. I've been lambasted. People have put things out on the net. He's this way, that way, another. I still stand redeemed. They can say what they want to. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, and I still stand redeemed. Some have even asked, where does he stand? And people wonder, which side is he on? I just stand redeemed. That's where I stand. And that's the only place to stand. You and I have a great opportunity to stand before the great I Am. How are you going to stand? The writer said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." How are you believing tonight? What are you believing tonight? How does it affect you as you go through this life? He let them know, we don't want to receive it and believe in vain. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and arose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." He was letting them know of that 500, most of them were still living at that point in time. They saw a risen Christ. They saw a living Redeemer. No one could dispute that in their eyes. They saw the real thing, and they knew they had seen it, and it was not any special effects. It was not anything where someone would say, "You just saw a spirit." Amen. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. By God's grace, he said, I am what I am. However you quantify it, however you total it up, whatever it brings to your mind, I am what I am. Many make a lot of judgments about who someone is and what they're all about and don't truly know the person as they go through this life. Many times hearing what somebody else had to say. But if that person is living by the grace of God, if that person has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they will stand before the great I am. And all they can say is, "I am what I am, Lord, by your grace." Amen. If that fire is burning in us, as the brother spoke this morning, he made the comment that many of the things that people want to do and get involved in, but when the fire begins to burn, those things fade away. It's a true statement. When you begin to allow God to work in your life, when you consider what you have received to be redeemed by him, when you consider all that God has done for you in this day and time, then if you have a true estimation of his blessings upon your life, you begin to see, I don't want to spend my time with those things. I want to walk with and follow him as I go on in this way. Paul let them know that he saw the Lord in due time. You've heard about his experience on the road to Damascus, and he let them know, I saw the Lord. Didn't just see him so much physically, but he saw him in his experience. You and I can still see him just that way today. Where do you stand? What type of stand do you have? Paul knew that he wasn't cut of the best cloth when it came along the lines of looking at how men live along that way. And he spoke over there in 1 Timothy about how he had done some things and how he had injured people in the church and persecuted them and did so ignorantly, thinking that he was upholding the standards and the law and so forth and was protecting God's church. But nevertheless, the time came when Jesus visited him and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And the Lord saved him and brought him out at that point in time and sending forth preaching his word and standing before kings and priests and others along the way and expounding God's word, he was able to stand before all of them redeemed. You know, the prodigal son had quite an awakening when you look over there in the 15th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to just read through it, but I want you to consider what took place. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Give me my inheritance now, and let me go and do what I want to do. His father, because of the customs of their time, went ahead and gave him his inheritance and allowed him to go on his way. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You consider how destitute and desperate he became, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father, seeing him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I'm mindful. He came to himself. Are you redeemed tonight? If not, you need to come to yourself. It happens by the help, the grace, and the mercy of the Lord. You and I need to stop and consider throughout our saved experience, throughout our life, time and time again, what God has done for us, how he saved us, how he had mercy upon us, what he spared us from, what he saved us from. You know, as we go on in this life, many times people forget where they came from and what God saved them from. And they begin to look at others, much like the Pharisees. But that person that is truly redeemed should have a great appreciation for what God has done to deliver them. This young man finally came to himself and recognized, my father's servants are living far better than I am. I need to get up. I need to go back. I need to beg his forgiveness. And I'm not worthy to be his son. I just want to be one of his servants. Yeah. Have you seen humility like that in these past years? Some can get in trouble, and then when they come back, they want to pick up right where they left off like nothing ever happened. Is that like the prodigal son? God said these things was written for our what? Our learning. We'll use some scriptures to take care of some other people, but when it comes to applying it to ourselves, well, I forgot about the prodigal son. But he came back. And then look at what he did. His father saw him and ran out to meet him, fell upon his neck and kissed him. Would that kind of give you the impression that father was glad to see him come back? Yeah. Now, how many of us in a situation like that would have been humbled enough, honest enough, to follow through and then just going to say, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me a servant. Yeah. Or would we kind of have thought, well, Daddy seems glad to see me. He's crying and he kissed me. Maybe I don't have to be no servant. I'll just go on and be the son. But he told him, I'm not worthy. Just make me a son. But his father, because of his compassion, his mercy and his love, he told the other servants, go bring a robe and put on him. Put the ring on him. Put shoes on his feet. What he found was restoration. What he found was mercy. What he found was grace. What he found was redemption. His father brought him back. Much like Christ does when he saves you and me. And you and I need to consider the blessing that the Lord bestows upon us and how he has kept us in this time. And young people, there are times in your life, and let me just say old people and middle-aged people too, when you go through this life and you just keep pushing off God's mercies and just kind of keep going along, I'm convinced that there are some people, they're not so interested in being saved. They just want to know somebody that is saved who can get their prayers through. And when I get in trouble, I call on them in their mercy, in their compassion, in their love, they'll pray for me. And God will hear their prayers. And when I get blessed, I'll just go on my way. But he said, the goodness of God does what? Well, it's supposed to. It is supposed to lead you and me to repentance, where we can stand redeemed. You know, this young man came on back, and I would trust and would hope that in an experience like that, he would never be a source of problem to his father and his mother ever again. You know, that's what redemption is supposed to do for us. When we are blessed, it should humble us, and it should work something in us where we hear people talking about being dear children. Now, what's a dear child to you? Obedient? Well, what kind of obedience? Okay, loving. Quickly. What you really looking for? Consistency. Some will obey you when they feel like it. Some will obey you even lovingly when they feel like it. But you want the dear child to obey you. Whenever you say go, boom, they're gone. And they do what you need to have done, and you don't have to even worry about coming back and checking on them. Redemption should work something like that in us. But we realize, Lord, you have done so much for me. They sung that song, My Jesus, I love thee. And I know you mine. And for thee, all the follies of sin I resign. What follies of sin did you let go? Huh? Brothers told his story many a time. He was wanting to be an actor. Had to let it go. You know, some of us had other thoughts in mind. I remember some when we were fairly young. They thought maybe I might have a chance to really become quite a runner. The day came where I thought I'm letting that go. I got to go some other way. You know, as we consider his redemption for us, the way it saves us, what it works in us, or what it is supposed to work in us, the way it keeps us, how can you let that go? And the thing I like about it when you consider the redemption story is that there is no case that has ever been outside of God's redeeming love. No case. Legion over there in the 8th chapter of Luke. I want to start with the 26th verse. arrived in the, at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs, out in the cemetery. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there and herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. They drowned there. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, besought Christ to depart from them, for they would take him with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show great things how God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. This man was full of devils. We don't know how many. But he was full of them. Yet, somehow, he knew that Jesus was coming. And he went. And I appreciate this passage from the standpoint that no matter how much Satan fights against a person, no matter how many traps and snares he puts in the way, no matter how many schemes he's able to work where they are caught and snared in those things, when they come to a place and they come to themselves and they have a desire to get to the feet of Jesus and be able to come to him and look to Christ to deliver them from everything that they have encountered and been bound in, all the devils in hell cannot stop them from getting to Christ. He came and by his actions didn't say a whole lot, but it also speaks that he fell down at Jesus' feet. And in doing so, he acknowledged by his actions, "You are the Christ. You can deliver me. You have the help that I need, and I've come unto you." And those devils knew who the Christ was. And they're like, "What do you have to do with us? You come to deliver us before our time and don't bother us." Finally, they said, "Well, can we go into the swine?" He said, "Go." Those things took off and went out there in the waters and drowned, and the people got afraid. They went back in the city and told it all. This was a man that they had tried to bind in fetters before, and with all those devils, he'd break them, and they couldn't hold him, and they couldn't deal with him. They couldn't help him. He'd stay out there in the tombs. Who knows what he was doing when he was out there? But now when they come and they see this Christ, there he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, able to sit there and take in what Jesus had for him. He had been redeemed. He'd been bought back. You know, those people got afraid and told Jesus, you can go on now. You would have thought they'd have said, "You delivered him? We have some more here we need you to deliver to." But they said, "Well, just go on." He went on. And this man called Legion wanted to go with him. But Jesus told him, go back to your family. Yeah. Tell them what great things God has done for you. He said he went back and he published it. Now, let me just ask you. What do you think Legion went back and told him? Huh? I've been set free. He didn't have to say much. Why would he not have to say much? They knew what he was before. They knew his problem before. And then they see him. Who's that coming? Well, that's him. No, that's not him. That man's got clothes on. He's walking. He looks like he's of a sound mind. Yeah. He walk up to him, oh, I'm the one that you used to call Legion. Yeah. I wonder sometimes what he told him. And then I thought too that there was probably some times when he couldn't contain himself. Yeah. He probably told him, I've been set free. Yeah. I stand before you redeemed. I'm in my right mind. Yeah. This is nothing that's been done by Beelzebub. This is nothing where special effects have taken place. I've been set free from every fetter. I've been set free from everything that was binding me. I've been cleansed up and made clean and living now in such a way that I'm following the one called Christ. Yeah. And you need to follow him too. He can do this for me. Just imagine what he could do for you. I imagine he had some times where he couldn't hardly contain himself. And then I imagine there were times when he didn't say nothing. He just let him look on him and marvel. He was redeemed. He had been brought back from the things he'd been bound in and set free from it. And is still yet the same today. This Christ, who is the gracious Redeemer, he is our Savior. If there was ever a time that you and I ought to have a love for Christ and for God and for the Holy Spirit, now in this day and time, we should have it. It ought to be a burning love. It ought to be an active love. It ought to be one in which others can look upon us and say, he or she is redeemed. Legion, I'm sure, was able to get the point across some way, somehow. Yeah. And I imagine people, well, I know people, did just like they do nowadays. Mm-hmm. People would get saved, and everybody starts watching. I remember my Sunday school teacher's testimony to us, Sister Gladys Williams Doolittle. She told us when she was teaching us in Sunday school, when she got saved, some of her friends told her it's not even going to last. By this time next week, you'll be back with us partying and drinking and doing whatever. But when that next weekend came, she was still saved. She was still redeemed. They thought, oh, you'll be back with us. You might hold out for a little while. Time went on. Weeks passed. Months passed. Years passed. She died, still redeemed. Didn't have to go back to him anymore. Oh no, she'd been set free, got something within that satisfied in a way that everything in the world cannot satisfy. As you go down through this life, many times people think that, well, I can go out there and it'll make me happy. I'll have all the money. How many of those folks have you seen die helpless and hopeless? I remember my economics teacher when I was in college, and she'd sometimes be writing some principle up on the board, and she would turn around to us and she'd say, I wonder if Howard Hughes is happy. And I knew the answer was no. Because by that point in time, back in the mid, late 70s, he was living as a recluse, to where they said fingernails was growing long, hair long and scraggly, and when they came to bring him his food, they slid it on a plate through a little opening in the door, because he was a germaphobe. He was scared to catch some germs from somebody and it might make him sick and he'd die. Yeah. Richest man in the world, they said, and yet he was cooped up in a room somewhere, couldn't even enjoy life. Oh no, he could not be happy. Yet you can take the poorest man, like Lazarus, who was redeemed by God, who had dogs for his nurses to lick his sores, yet he was happy and satisfied, died that way and found himself in Abraham's bosom. Yes. You know, when you and I consider what this redemptive story brings unto us, and you consider it and weigh it out, you can't totally weigh it out. But I'm convinced that you can't look into it, and you can't look at your own life and see how God has blessed you and not be amazed at what God has done for you. I don't think you can do it. You know, as we go through this life, we can be set free. Sometimes people want to look back and they get caught up. And I remember some of the things that you hear people discussing and debating. Well, when we were young people, they were still discussing and debating those things. And I think before we were young people, others that were young people that are older than us was dealing with some of the same issues. You know, you have to get this for yourself. You have to get in a place where God can open up some things unto you, and then you will begin to make some decisions. I remember the time where when we, because of our circumstance, my father got saved, and he made a determination all of the children are going to church with him. My mother didn't appreciate that. She wanted the girls to be able to go with her, and the boys could go. And he said, no, all of them are coming with me. And I remember, well, we're going because Daddy said we're going. But as we were getting older, I didn't know it at the time, but my sister who was here tonight, she was thinking along some lines like I was, where you're beginning to think, you know, pretty soon I'm going to be out on my own. I can go where I want to. I can do what I want to. I can go to church where I want to. Am I going to still go here, or am I going to go someplace else? You begin to consider what you have, how God has blessed, what you've learned about Him, how it's shown Himself to be real. And I didn't know she was thinking about that at that point in time, but I finally made a determination. I'm still going where He used to take me. Right here to the same place, and I'm still here today. She made the same decision, and somehow we both got to talk and say, yeah, I was thinking about what I'm going to do, and I finally decided I'm still going to the same place. I wonder why. And you know something else? Young people, be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not by what somebody else said. You're going to encounter some things along the way. And I'm just going to tell you, and you may not understand it, I'm going to say it that way, but you'll understand it later. I've told my children, I said, you know, the time is coming. You're with other young people. Y'all get along great. You want to go out together and do things together. I said, but the time is coming where in a few years, and I told them in about 10 years, take a look and see where everybody is at. Some of the ones that you think you're so friendly with right now, you're going to be at odds with them because they're going to go another direction and your spirit will not mix with their spirit. Some of them are going to be right amongst God's people and they're going to try to assume positions in the church and you're not going to be able to agree with that. And you're going to have some, I'm going to use the word some splitting. Not in the sense that some people are using it nowadays, but you're going to begin to see, I can't agree with that. I can't enter into that. And I've got to keep going God's way. I heard one of them talking with a couple of others here a while back, and they said, well, Daddy told us this, and I'm kind of seeing some of that happen now. They didn't believe me at first, but it's real. But you be redeemed by His blood. And then when things happen and people you had confidence in go way off in some other direction and some get involved in things you thought they'd never get involved in, you won't be shook to the very core of your foundation because you've been redeemed by Him, by His blood, and you realize I was bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify God in my body because this temple belongs to Him. It'll keep you and hold you as you go on in this world. way. The writer said there in Revelations, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Everybody is going to have to stand before God. Now, how are you going to stand? You think about that. Here he says, they had palms and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So let it be. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And John answered him, he said unto him, sir, thou knowest. In other words, the way John responded, he was saying, sir, I don't know, but you know, please tell me. And he answered him and said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to be one of those. He said they came through great tribulations. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. When you consider the price that Christ paid to redeem you and me, what do you think about? He came and he left heaven, came down on earth, and he died for me. Is that as far as it goes? Tell me something about his redemptive story that stands out to you, that is personal to you. What can you say in his behalf? Anything? Are you people redeemed? Well, what can you say? You know, I made an effort once to search out what Christ went through when he was crucified on the cross. Doctors have studied the effects of crucifixion upon a man's body. First time I looked at some of that, it was kind of difficult to keep reading. You begin to see all of the physical things that crucifixion does to a person's body after he had been beaten and scourged the way he was, having his back and his body ripped to shreds. And when the Roman soldier beat him like he did, it wasn't just totally on his back. And that bone and shrapnel would dig in and tear the flesh. And then you think about how he wore all of that. And bore the weight of the world of sin upon himself. You think about how God turned because he couldn't look on such a horrible sight. He was too pure for that. Not because he didn't have a stomach for it, but he was too pure to look at the sin of man. And Jesus took upon himself the curse that was upon you and me. Sometimes when I think about what he did, about all I can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Sometimes it's indescribable, if you will, and sometimes what you feel is almost inexpressible if you begin to consider, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You need to think about the price Christ paid for you. You know, some people try to keep it from being so personal because then they don't feel quite so obligated. You and I need to really consider what he went through. You know, it's amazing to me that he humbled himself and came down here and let his own creation kill him. I made a comment once. All of you that are parents, you ever had one of your children kind of rear up against you? What'd you do? How'd you take it? Huh? Come on, be honest. She ran back. One of my daughters, I came in from work. I come in through the garage. And before I could get to the door, I could tell that my wife was chewing on somebody in a way I've never heard her chew before, nor since. And I came in, and I just got a glimpse when the daughter turned around to walk away. And my wife was fixing dinner. She never even stopped, but she turned and said, don't you ever walk away from me. You come back here. I'm not through. And she worked on her some more and then told her, now you go to your room. She didn't know I was in there. And I walked down the other side of the wall and followed the daughter into the room. And I said, I don't know what you did. I said, but you this close to your mama jerking you out of your skin. And I want you to know, I'm on your mama's side. I'm not getting in trouble with you on whatever you did. I said, and furthermore, I'm going back outside and cut the yard till she says it's time for dinner. So you can make another mistake if you want to, but you on your own. And if she reach and grab you, I'm backing her up. She didn't appreciate that at all. And I didn't say nothing to her. I didn't ask her. I'm like, I don't even want to know what happened. I still don't know what happened. And that was some years ago. But I thought, I've never heard my wife do that. See, we don't appreciate that. And yet, he came down and allowed his creation to treat him in the way that they did. That just boggles my mind. And I saw you talk about some love and some compassion, some grace and some humility, long suffering and some gentleness. This is the one that redeemed you and me. And you know something else? Sometimes people feel like, well, I wasn't there. If I'd have been there, I wouldn't have treated him like that. But I want to tell you something. When you're in sin, you and I had the same principle that those Pharisees and Jews had back then, that if we had been there, we'd have done just like them. Unless we were willing to embrace that gospel and accept him as the redeemer for all mankind. He's quite a redeemer. I cannot really convey to you how much we should appreciate what he has done. Revelations 12 and 10 says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame by his blood. How can you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Have you ever been accused by the accuser of the brethren? How'd you defeat it? devil got in the car with me and he's talking. I get out of the car. When I get there and I'm walking across part of the field to get into the plant, and he's walking with me. And he says something to the effect, I don't remember the exact words now, but something to the effect that, you know, you're struggling, and you know you're not what you ought to be, and you know that you've done some things in your past, and you're just not what you're trying to be, and you're not really successful at it, so why are you still trying to do this? You don't have much of anything. And I finally told him, devil, I'll tell you what. You go back to that place where I knelt down. You go there and look and see what you see. And all of that stuff you're talking about, I'm like Paul, where he let him know I'm the chief of sinners. He was saved. He was living for God. He was sanctified. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. But yet he said, I'm still the chief of sinners. The songwriter said, the bitter mark of it won't ever fade away. Sometimes I believe people need to go back and consider, what did God deliver me from? So they won't get too high and exalted, and they can stay in an humble place. And I told him, everything you saying I did. But you go back and look at that place. And see the blood that's on top of it. You go and argue with that. I don't have nothing else to say to you.
Amen.
He went on his way. I said, you can go back to that place. Go over there and look and see where, as I knelt, the blood fell and washed away. And all the dregs of it is right there. I recognize who I am. And I've even stopped from time to time to consider, had I not been saved, what would I have been doing? Where would I be? I asked him at home one time, have you ever considered what kind of person you'd have been if you'd have never been saved? I find people like to comment on a lot of things, but I didn't get a comment on that. And I told him, I said, I have a real good idea of where I would have been and what kind of trouble I would have been in. I said, and I think you all do too. And if you really stop and think about what God saved you from, you can't get too high. You need to remember what God saved you from and allow it to keep you on. And you know, much of what we are encountering in this world today, much of what we are meeting, even as the people of God amongst ourselves, you know what it is really a call for? It's a call for humility. Some feel like they're being humble. I don't argue that, but there's something there that God wants us to get a hold of that's far beyond where we've gone before. And he's calling us to get there. And when I consider what kind of price Jesus paid for me to be saved, I must strive, and I sometimes ask the Lord, Lord, help me to not receive it in vain. I don't want to live this life and finally miss out when it's all said and done. I don't want to live this life and miss out in this life. Some say they've gotten saved, and then they'll say, but I'm not happy like y'all. And is it really like what y'all say it is? Huh? I had one ask me that. Are they really that happy? I'm like, yes, they are. Yes, they are. And you can get it, but you got to humble yourself. You got to recognize that he is here to redeem you and set you free from all of that. And you got to be set free from yourself. He said he overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, we were redeemed, Peter said, with the precious blood of Christ. Just how precious is it to you? What does it really mean for you to have been saved by him dying for you? How personal has it become to you? One songwriter said he's a personal savior. How personal is he to you? May the Lord help us to be able to stand before him redeemed by his blood, not having taken it in vain, able to recognize what he's done. Some of you God has blessed in your life, and you still go back out and sin. Why? After what he's done for you. Some will see God's blessings and won't take it to heart. Why? Look at what he's doing. I remember before my brother got saved, he told me about something that happened. I told him, man, I said, God just did something for you he ain't ever done for me. You better take that to heart. Somewhere along the way, it won him over. All of the blessings God showed to him that he did not deserve. He began to yield. And you know, when he considered what his Redeemer was to him, they didn't have to tell him, well, okay, you need to pray about this and what about that. And they didn't have to try to dig it up. He just started pitching out. May God help us to consider our Redeemer. He is able to save us just like he did Legion. Everything that Legion was bound with, Jesus broke it, set him free. When I say set him free, you know, sometimes people escape from something, but they still got the cuffs around their hands, and they still have maybe a piece of chain wrapped around their ankle. When Jesus sets us free, you don't have any of that. When he redeems us, all of that is gone. He's able to do that for you and me as we go through this life. How will you stand before the God of heaven and earth? And how do you stand right now? Do you stand redeemed? Are you truly saved? Have you given it all to Christ? Or are you still holding on to something? May God help us serve him wholeheartedly without any drawback.